One of the most common questions I hear when people find out what I do for a living is, how can we develop a stronger company culture? Stay tuned and I'll share how I typically answer.
Running a service business can be hard. It is not unusual for business owners in industries like contracting, home repair, auto repair, business-to-business services like janitorial, IT and accounting, and many others to feel overwhelmed by all the priorities facing them at any given time. Between addressing the needs of the customers, managing the employees, figuring out the financials, and getting processes in place, feeling like you're making significant progress on your business journey can be difficult. Welcome to Service Industry Success, hosted by Brian Harding. Each week, Brian will look at real-world strategies for building the business you are dreaming of, while also sharing tactics to get through some of the most frustrating parts of business ownership with a lot more ease. Let's get started.
All right, so how can we develop a strong company culture? As with anything, my first step is to identify and articulate what success looks like. So in this case, I need to figure out what is a quote-unquote culture, or what makes a culture? What are the components of creating a good culture? So I would imagine, I'm not a psychologist, but I'm gonna guess it's probably the same kind of things that make a good relationship between any group of people. Trust, honesty, all that kind of stuff, right? So that leads me to ask, what percentage of leaders and business owners would say they don't have a good culture? They don't care about a good culture. Probably not very many. Many people will say, we care about a good culture. We're building a good culture. We have a good culture. But if you were to say, like, well, what makes a culture? They would be stymied in some cases, or reluctant to give up some descriptors. Like they wouldn't want to limit themselves to only saying a few things. They'd want to encapsulate a whole bunch of stuff, which makes it way more confusing. And I'll just say, before we go too much further, the top three worst bosses I've ever had, and we've all had really crummy bosses. I'm no exception. Before you became a business owner, or even if you're a business leader, you have or have had really crummy bosses. All of us have. The top three worst ones I had, and there was a couple specifically that were just like, actually, you know what? All three of them were just horrible. But they all thought they had a great culture. And this is why it matters to break down, like, what does it mean to say we have a good culture? What makes a culture, right? What are the components of creating a good culture? Because those three guys would never have done that. They would not have ever taken it. They would just say, well, of course I have it. And they would have, you know, like, barked at somebody as they went, whatever. But they might not have had been willing to say something like, we want to have an endearing group, or we want to have an effective group. Actually, they would have said they had an effective culture, not an endearing culture, I guess is my point. They would have said something to be complimentary, but not make it sound like a relationship, is my point. In no way would they have said it was bad, though. Even the worst boss I ever had, who was cruel on a scale that I can scarcely describe, and certainly can't do justice to describing this person on this platform where I have to keep my language in check. Even that guy absolutely thought the culture was just what the company needed. He thought the environment that he had created, and he created it, he did a lot to create that culture. He thought it was just what the company needed right now. But again, he would have said it was effective. He would have said it was productive, but he would not have said words like endearing or community or things that make it sound like a relationship. So my point is, like, I think we have to be clear on, like, what we think makes a culture. What are the mechanics of how a culture is built? Well, again, I would say, for me, I believe it's the same kind of things that make a happy marriage or a happy friendship or, you know, a partnership or whatever. It's the same kind of stuff. So that just, for me, I want to first clarify, like, what are the things I should be tuning into? My point is that none of us is going to say we're creating a bad culture, even if we are. And this is one of the ways we can check ourselves, right? So how do we make sure we're developing a strong culture? Well, more on that in a second. First, I want to remind you, try the new groups I've launched, absolutely free. You can ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability. All you gotta do is send an email, a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. A quick introduction is fine. Who you are, what your company is, how many employees you've got, something, basic stuff like that. I don't need a whole a whole biography. Just a few words would be great. A quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. This group is for anyone who has a team of employees that they lead. And once I get your email, I'll send you back and let you know, or reply back and let you know when the next couple of meetings are. You'll choose one and come check it out. I'll send you the Zoom link and you're off to the races. You can start moving forward immediately in areas where you'd like to make more or faster progress with your team and your business. So, okay. I believe the first thing we want to do if we want to build a good culture is describe the kind of culture we want. Now, as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time at all, I loathe generic nebulous words like good or great. I don't think those are effective. The more generic we are with these things, in my opinion, the less effective they are. So saying I want to create a good or a strong or great culture is, in my opinion, it's just a waste of words. That those things are implied. And I think it's just a waste of time to say those things. We have to be more specific. Do I want a supportive culture? Maybe I want a proactive culture, which is not the same as supportive. Do I want a cohesive culture or fulfilling, which would not be the same as fun? Like, you can see what I like. All those words I just said, supportive, proactive, cohesive, fulfilling, fun, all those could be lumped in with strong or good or great. But fulfilling is not the same thing as fun. Proactive is not the same thing as supportive. So whatever we choose, we must actually choose. We have to get clear on the few things we want that are specific and spoken in terms where people know exactly what we mean. Part of the thing or problem with saying things like great and good is if I ask 100 people what's a good culture, I would get a bunch of different answers. And that doesn't help me. Everybody thinks they know what we're trying to build, and nobody actually has the idea what we're trying to build. And so that's why I don't like those kinds of words. I just don't like those nebulous words like good. Plus, I want to be able to hold people accountable. So at some point, the part of all this stuff is to be able to hold people accountable, get them to understand what we're aiming for, show them how we do it, explain, you know, the mechanics of how it works and the expectations we have and the goals we have, and then hold them accountable. I can't hold people accountable to being good. I just don't believe that. The more specific we are, the easier that part is. But we want to use general words because it's easier on us. And it allows us to try to cram a bunch of priorities under one umbrella, like the word great. Like, a great culture is going to be all the above. Well, again, the problem is, if I ask 100 people what makes a great culture, I'll get a bunch of different answers. And I'm back to having a team who does not share a vision of what we're aiming to build. And in many cases, they won't share that vision, but they will really think they do. And that's even worse, in my opinion. So we have to be bold and declare what we really value and prioritize. What is this culture supposed to be? Then we can move on to the next step, which before we get to the next thing we can do, I want to kind of pause here for a minute and talk about something that I think we can't do. And that is to stop allowing ourselves to believe that people with strong personalities are interested always in creating the kind of culture we want. So what I mean by that is as you probably have, I've had my share of strong personalities to lead. And sometimes having conflict is too big a word, confrontation is too big a word, but like stopping them from going down a path too hard is uncomfortable on what seem like kind of minor things. But the alternative is I let this bold personality kind of go unchecked with the hope that they're trying to build the same thing I am. And I just don't, that's not always the case. They don't always have the motivation. They don't always have the intent. They don't always have the skill, frankly, or the ability. But it's uncomfortable to kind of check those people, right? So again, I'm sure you can imagine, I'll give you a couple examples. In an office environment, we had a team of four who were in a 16 by 20 room, 40 hours a week. Like, you can imagine there was times where things were really awesome. Many times, most of the time it was really awesome, but sometimes there's tension and they're like, they would get heated sometimes. And there was a person who had a very strong personality who would drive things. And had I allowed that person just to like go unchecked, our culture would have been very, very different. But it wasn't always fun to like bring her in and say, hey, like this thing that just happened, like, do you think that behavior is going to end up building the kind of culture we want here? And many people I've seen will just let that stuff go. And again, I know it's not fun, but I can't assume that they have the right intentions or abilities. and strong personalities. Sometimes it's just we have to be willing to have conversations with them about things that are true to what we want to build, and take that time and not just assume, well, they're just having a bad day and they're going to get over it, because sometimes they won't. Another example, real strong personalities, guys out in the field, they absolutely had to be like reined in sometimes, because, you know, as long as I'm clear that they're demonstrating the behavior that it's going to support and create the culture we want, fine, awesome. Like, I love their big personalities. Let them be who they are. But as soon as those big personalities start driving things away from what we're trying to build, I have to have that conversation. And I can't just assume that they're going to do it on their own, even though it's uncomfortable. So I hope that makes sense. I've seen where people are reluctant to engage big personalities because they hope, or it's just hope. That's what it comes down to. They hope that people are going to do the right thing. And I just think sometimes they're not. Not because they're mean people, not because they're bad people. They might not have the ability or the skill or not have the vision of understanding what we're trying to build, or not be able to put somebody else's needs first and not, like, you know, let their needs right now take priority. Sometimes it's just that simple. Anyhow, I just think it's something we got to be mindful of. We're going to have strong personalities, which is awesome. Like, we want to have personality. We want to have a culture that allows for that kind of thing, but we can't let those personalities drive disproportionately what the culture is going to be. I got to be the one making sure the culture is going the way I want it to go if I own the business. So once the culture was built, it's a little different. Now I don't have to do so much of that engagement one-on-one, because people who come into a culture that's already established in alignment with what I want, if they don't share our values, they're going to stand out. They're not going to last that long. So my point is, in the beginning, I couldn't just sit back and let them do their thing on their own. I had to take an active role. Once the culture is kind of built, I have to do less of that, because the culture exists now. It's not being created and developed. It's in place, and now we're just maintaining it. And so there's just less of that for me to do. So the good news is, if you're like thinking about, you know, having somebody on your team, you're like, I don't really want to deal with this stuff, it gets easier because the culture becomes more ingrained. So anyhow, if I would have let the strong personalities go without direction in the beginning, we would have been in trouble. We would not end up with the culture that we did, which was, in my opinion, the greatest part of the company. So, all right. And now I'm going to say, like, what the biggest thing that we must do is focus on what we do, not the outcome we believe is in place, but what actions we take, what behaviors we exhibit specifically that are creating the culture we want. So the question is, how do we build a great culture? Well, I believe once we've identified what the culture is and decided that we have to take an active role in that, we now have to focus on the things that we do, the actions we take, behaviors we exhibit specifically that are creating the culture we want. It's too easy to declare that we have a great culture, and you might. But we also might not have as great a culture as we think if we can't name our exact actions or behaviors that are creating the great culture, besides things like, we have an open door policy, or we try to make people around here feel valued, or our team knows we care. Like, those are outcomes, and that's great if those things are true, and they probably are in some cases. But using those words is often a mask or a crutch to rely on when we really can't say what we do to create, develop, or maintain the culture we want. Those crummy bosses we've all had would also say they had a great culture, but couldn't name the actions or behaviors that led to the supposed great culture. So for me, this is a test I hold for myself and the leadership team I developed. They don't get to say we have a great culture. We did, and we can talk about that. We can't just say that, though. They have to talk about the actions and behaviors they did themselves, or that we do collectively, that created the great culture. So yes, we can talk about it, the outcome, in part, but the bulk of the conversation is about, how do we maintain it? How do we develop it? How do we improve it? Those kinds of things. Because we have to focus on our actions. Otherwise, we're giving ourselves a pass. Well, of course I have a great culture. Well, how do you create it? Well, I don't really know. That doesn't work. Versus, here's the things I'm going to do to create a great culture. The outcome would be, it would have to happen if we did the actions that would create it, if we're being reasonable about that stuff. So I hope you can go back through this podcast and see exact things that we can do. Like, some of the topics of the podcast are exactly these kinds of things that are actions we can take to create a great culture. So I'm going to give you some examples. This is not an all-inclusive list, but many of the things we talk about in this podcast are exactly these things. So one example is focusing on what went wrong, not who did wrong. The process improvement cycle. There's very specific things in the process improvement cycle to keep us from pointing fingers and like trying to find root cause and like working on solutions, teaching our leadership team specific strategies to be good leaders and not just assuming that they're good leaders, because all of us have stories of how 80% of our bosses were not that great. But when it comes time for us to promote a boss, we assume that they're going to do really well. Well, how do we know? Let's teach them specific strategies that make them good leaders. That's something we can focus on. That's an action I can take. Investing in meaningful training to set our people up for success. Having clearly defined expectations and goals. Like, these are things that we've talked about on this podcast that are specific things that actions we can take to create that great culture. So the main thing I'm hoping that people walk away from, a couple of main things. One is deciding what specifically we want our culture to be about. What do we want it to be? How would we want to describe it? What is the mood supposed to be 5 years from now when we walk in? How's it supposed to feel? What words of people who came into our office, what would they walk out the door and tell their friend who was with? Like, if we get a call from salespeople and a two-person sales team shows up, or a salesperson and their manager, and they come into our office and they do whatever they do, and we interact with them, then they go back out of their car and they're driving away to the next call. What do I want them to say was the mood like? What was the environment like? What do they feel? Those are the things I want to pay attention to. That's the outcomes I want to describe. And then I got to focus on, like, you know, putting it in words that people can understand. Like, we can't just say good. What are the words that people can understand that are specific enough, that are not nebulous, these like good and great words, specific enough that people know exactly what we mean, understanding we're going to have to eliminate a few that it really matter to us. And we got to pick a handful. We can't pick 27. We can only pick a few. Then we got to commit to not letting other people shape our culture. We have to take the lead on that. And that's mostly going to be with people's strong personalities. And then the third thing is we got to identify the actions and behaviors of ours that will create the culture we want. All right. So don't forget to try out my group meetings. Absolutely free the first time. We can come ask any question you have about improving your business, your growth, your team, your processes, your profitability. Just send a quick introductory email to hello@serviceindustrysuccess.com with the word group in the subject. And once I get your email, I'll let you know the next couple of meetings are coming up. You'll choose one. I'll send you a Zoom link and you can start moving forward immediately in areas where you'd like to make more or faster progress. And as usual, if you like the information I share here, please take a minute and send it to a friend or colleague you think could benefit from it. Some of the things we talk about are things that business owners really struggle with. So if you know somebody who's a business owner or a business leader who could use it, and you've heard them talk about, like, I wish I knew how to create a great culture or whatever. Text it. Nowadays, it's really easy to text, isn't it? Email this kind of stuff. So, or send it on Facebook Messenger, whatever. Of course, public sharing is appreciated too. Anyhow, thank you all for tuning in. That's it for this week, and I'll talk to you all next week.